Welcome to the Poetry Break, where today we'll be listening to the amazing poetry of Richard Haeg. Richard was raised in that northern outpost of Appalachia, Steubenville, Ohio, and has lived his adult life in another Appalachian city of Ohio, Cincinnati. The author of over 8 books of poetry and numerous chapbooks, his collected volume, During the Recent Extinctions, won the prestigious Weatherford Award as the finest book of poetry published in Appalachia in 2013. Dick is the kind of poet I find it easy to admire. He simply gets it done, going about his work as a masterful high school English teacher for decades while quietly turning out wonderful poems day after day, year after year. Much as I'd like to claim it, Haeg is, for my money, the truest heir of James Wright I know. Few poets write as well as he does about work and family, gardens, and community. There's a perfect little poem capturing both a people, a time, a child's imagination, and that nagging sense of truth all good poems leave us with. The poem is titled Giant Catfish, 1955. After catching shad as neat as gloves, hand-sized from the Easter shoals along the river's sloped sand, I saw those catfish brooding, monstrous, at the mouth of Yellow Creek one day. Grandfather pointed toward their thick trunks, prehistoric, long as mammoth bones. How many years of minnows filled their cold bushel stomachs? How many 8-inch smelts cast out by dreamers up from Steubenville? And worse, how many boys? 8 years old, I looked down on their being, idle power hardly moving near the waterworks, and measured how I'd fit if somehow, for my sins, I would tumble from the creek wall to their taking. Days later, back at school, I fled the Bible story of the outlaw swallowed by a whale. All day I hunkered in the blackest basement corner as the nuns cast from their ghostly shores accusing endless lines baited with my name. Haeg is unafraid to tackle the bane of life in Appalachia, the deleterious effects of extractive industries upon our region and our world. Measuring the energy. Even at midnight on Tuesdays, these places drain power from the world, sending up waste light into the starless sky so that no one discovers wonder. Thousands of tons of Eastern Kentucky coal burn for the neon. Lingerie outlets glow like nebulae. Shoe stores shout radiation like pulsars. Off the Resources Recovery Highway in the Appalachians, the Mickey D's and fish and chips replace gob with litter and choke 100 hollers. Meanwhile, deep in the rainforest, another species of bird is rubbed out. Just over the smoky horizon, from where its body begins to decay, a motorcade of Humvees and D-10s approaches, French fries and diesel fumes perfuming the air before it. How he weds the local and global in a poem like this is simply brilliant. It's not easy to write about things that are newsworthy, current, political, without getting on a rant or a high horse. Rereading Haeg's collected works, I'm struck over and over by the breadth of this work. There's nothing he won't tackle. Here he's simply reading a book to his son. Listen, reading him to sleep. We study prehistoric animals, my son and I. It is 8 o'clock, 2 days after Christmas. The book's already a favorite, Megatherium and Eriops, Smilodon and Mammoth. He likes the cover, makes me tell again its tale, a mammoth trapped in tar, beset by saber-toothed tigers, sinks towards its death, a great vulture sailing down. I pause. Outside, a mild 40, rain, jonquils rising strangely in the garden. On we read, until suddenly he turns back to the cover, points precisely with one finger, and he asks, what's tar? What's a mammoth for? Where's that thing called death? Haig is as well a master at spinning a narrative poem like few others, my grandfather's mandolin. All those years and miles we spent afoot out of Steubenville, across the bridge, on up the West Virginia hollows, then down the riprap Hall roads into Follansbee, then north again on Old Route 2, the swerving drivers shooting gravel off their tires, north, then west across the bridge and back to Steubenville to make a neat, closed measure of our walking all those years and miles. And every step along the way, near weed banks where May apples drop their leaves like fans, or along the stony coal dust washouts where the copper water stained the downridge rock, every step I see now was a perfect single note in the long song of our kinship. Yet not a word was ever passed between us of how you used to make another, gentler music. Now, surprised, years later, I sit in hot Missouri on your second son's bright porch and try to tune what he tells me was your favorite mandolin. But it is memory that's tuned with every tightened key, and as the chords emerge from the loose years of their silence, a part of you I never knew is, 6 years past your dying, newly born. Now, I know the quiet of our hours in the willows by the river, fishing for the shad we never caught, but hearing always high above us on the banks, the old men singing in their gardens by the tracks, was part of something like a music you conducted, not for your own ears, ruined by the railroad, but for mine, too young then to hear it. Today I do. Today my fingers, nimbler than I remember yours, unarthritic, familiar with guitars, find the frets for one sweet chord you must have played. On this late St. Joe porch, 1,000 miles from your grave, you lean against the railing, younger again than I am, stern angel, humming me home to your death. Here, a shorter narrative, again anchored rock solid in a gone time and place, and yet somehow Haig makes them come alive. Carried up. Oh, Father, it is Steubenville, 1950, snow falling steadily, and in our rugged town your slick-tired Model A fails our neighborhood hill. You swing me easily to your shoulders and carry me, as St. Christopher bore his burden, up the slippery switchbacks home. I still remember, along that hovering, icy way, the gait of you beneath me, solid, step after step, advancing and ascending, a psalm of upwardness, and the silent plume of your breath as we rose, trailing behind us like an angel or your soul out for an Advent airing, as if all the best of you were turned inside out, immaculately expansive, sweet as a carol in that happy, silent night. And good poets like Haig can always take anything, and as Ezra Pound enjoyed poets to do in the modern era, make it new. Even slugs. Slugs. Always the last guests at the banquet, arriving from old cisterns and plant heaps long after dark, you mark your trails neatly, wandering laces of slime of interest to crickets and house cats. I watch you, the greatest 4 inches long, tigered like flatworms or pike, nose the round bits of potato into evening's senescence. I admire your delicate eye stalks, the fluid contentment of your bodies, the way you go back where you came from, saying nothing, gleaming and muscular as silence. Today's poems are from Richard Haig's book, During the Recent Extinctions, New and Selected Poems, 1984 to 2012, published by Dos Madres Press and winner of the Weatherford Award from the Appalachian Studies Association. This has been the Poetry Break. I'm Mark Harshman, wishing you good words on the page and in the air.